welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. Broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Racket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. For those of you that are regular podcast listeners, and for those of you new to the podcast, Revenue Racket is the world's premier growth strategy advisor and M&A advisor to IT services companies. And with me today are my partners, Matt Lockhart and Ryan Barnett. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, and great to be here as always. You know, although I was thinking, I don't know, Ryan, have you gotten any feedback? Are people sick of hearing from us? I think we need to get a guest or two on here pretty soon. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, a guest would be great. And also, Tom, covering the topics that you want to address is also important. So, as always, if you've got something to contribute, please let us know at info@revenueracket.com. And looking forward to hosting a few more guests here this year, as well as being on some podcasts ourselves with some elsewhere in the podcast universe. With that, I'd love to kind of jump in. As Mike mentioned, we're primarily focused on M&A in the IT services world. And one of the questions that we get oftentimes from sellers is this the right time, you know, right now? Or is it worth trying to time the market for trying to bring my company to market or to trying to sell my company? So I really wanted to hack in today, get Mike and Matt your expert opinion on can you time this market? Does it matter what kind of things they were saying? So Mike, why don't you get us going? Can you just explain the concept of timing the market in the context of selling an IT services business?
Absolutely, Ryan. So, you know, timing the market really is about selling at the optimum time to bring you the highest price or the highest enterprise value for your business. And there is certainly a variety of factors, which we'll try to unpack today in the podcast, that contribute to timing, to the optimized timing. But in general, optimized timing just means you're going to get the best price and terms for the business at any particular time. I can think of a variety of times when the market has been hot, if we consider optimized for a seller. Oftentimes you'll hear people in the M&A world say it's a buyer's market or a seller's market. I certainly think that we're moving towards and into a seller's market at this time due to a variety of factors, which we'll unpack soon.
Yeah, so if you think about this, so it's always if we back up a little bit, it's always hard to make a decision to sell a company. And part of this is your life's work is on the table. And it's something that is so important to you and has such big ramifications for the future that anytime you decide this, it's a challenging one. And as advisors, I'd be remiss to not suggest that you talk to someone about a process and what it looks like. But that time aspect can be really interesting. And are there ups or downs, or as you, Mike, you mentioned, Mike, a buyer's market or a seller's market? I think I'd love to understand, you know, what signifies a seller's market, or, you know, Matt, maybe you could help me understand, are there key indicators that suggest it's a great time to sell an IT services business?
Yeah, you know, interesting. And I think this one offers an opportunity for a little point counterpoint, right? Because yes, there are certainly better times in which you can quote unquote time the market, right? What are examples? Well, you recognize there's a high degree of competitiveness for your particular offering. In tech enabled services, you know, 10 years ago, people, you know, investors really weren't looking at this as an optimal space. 5 years ago, people really started to look further. You know, I think financial buyers, you know, were really in. Maybe it was 7 years ago. And then all of a sudden there became this sort of fever related to recurring revenue businesses. It was similar to, you know, the SaaS, you know, SaaS businesses previously. So there's just a high degree of competitiveness that makes it a better time to sort of time the market. Financial markets, credit availability can have an impact on whether it's a better or worse time to quote unquote time the market, right? So there are a number of factors. However, counterpoint is the very best time typically for you to sell your company is when you've optimized the value of your company, regardless of the market timing. And or it is simply time because you, an individual seller, and maybe a founder-led business, recognize that your life's work is going to be is going to do better with somebody else at the helm, right? So yes, there are certainly times to time the market, and that's what we do, right? That we help guide firms into when is the optimal time to go to market based upon the market, but then also based upon the individual firm and individuals' goals and desires.
Yeah, I think it's a great start, Matt. And if we have one theme, it's that if you look at our world, the deals are done on a multiple of adjusted EBITDA. And with those deals, there's typically a range that is considered. And Mike, I guess I'd like to get your thoughts on this, but are there macroeconomic factors that may influence the decision to sell? But do those macroeconomic factors also impact perhaps the range of what someone should expect in a deal? Or does it have a less of a impact than a seller might think?
Well, I certainly think macroeconomics play a role in it. Certainly market optimism is a trend that you can't ignore, right? Typically, we think about market optimism, being indexed by the kind of the overall state of public markets and kind of where they are vis-a-vis their historical levels. At this point in time, the stock market, for example, is running at historic highs and continuing to, for the most part, be a bull market. And I think that's reflective of generally where the economy stands. We're in a pretty good state from a pretty low unemployment rate. Job growth continues to be strong. We have at least interest rate cuts on the horizon. This year, I guess the Fed is predicting that. We don't quite know when that'll be, but that generally means their lending costs will go down, which further provides some lubricant, if you will, for buyers to get into the market. It certainly opens up the market with more buyers. And what tends to drive, up multiples is more the competition for particular deals, with the number of buyers and the number of qualified buyers in the market. Just like you can imagine, if it's a real estate transaction, oftentimes our industry is, compared to real estate, and there are certainly some things that are very similar and some things that are very different. But, one thing that is similar is it has to do with inventory, right? The types of companies that are available and the number of buyers that are in the market. If there's a lot of buyers and fairly scarce inventory, that will tend to drive up pricing or enterprise value. Now, I need to talk about I'm just going to, kind of get off a little off the question, but to add what Matt said, the swing of value we're talking about here is not huge. And in my sort of memory, the most that a value will swing versus timing the market for the best possible time versus the worst possible time, is about one point of EBITDA, one time EBITDA. either way, right? And I think, you know, a lot of people think, well, if I time the market perfectly well, I could get double the money or 50% more or whatever. That's not really how it goes. There's a pretty well-defined value proposition that goes into, you know, what companies are worth. It's not just a multiple of EBITDA, but that's used as a comparison. And they don't vary all that much from kind of the worst economic times to the best economic times. And, you know, my history in doing M&A, I can think back to Y2K, certainly was very optimistic time. A lot of deals got done for high multiples. We can think about the Great Recession of 2008, when the market cooled off dramatically. And, you know, some deals certainly got done. We got deals done during that time. But the multiples were down probably as far as we'll ever see in my lifetime. And those are generally off a little more than 1x EBITDA in most areas of the business. And then, you know, in boom times, like I believe we're in a very interesting boom time right now for all the reasons I've just discussed around, you know, lack of inventory, a lot of interested buyers in the market, major consolidation continuing to happen in the space. Complexity of the technology continues to go up. There's areas that are kind of hotter than others in investment, but certainly all of those things drive the, you know, historical EBITDA multiples to sort of a new level of high. And we're seeing that in the evidence of, you know, not only the latter half of last year, but certainly moving into this year with volumes and numbers. But macroeconomic trends certainly play a key role in that, and the superstorm is the combination of that as well as these other number of buyers and lack of quote-unquote inventory available all play factors into driving that number up.
Yeah, it's a really interesting concept. You, in some ways, the marketplace will expand or contract based on the availability of supply and demand in it. And so I, in some of that is defining the market. And I guess I'd love to get both your opinions on this. As we look at the categories that become exciting, you know, we could look back over time where we saw this where, the emergence of the internet, it was one big phase. The emergence of mobile, the emergence of big data, the emergence of social, and right now I'd argue we've got the generative AI and AI related investments are at a fever related fever pitch. Does a company in our space have the opportunity to switch categories, or at least define a category to be one that is more in demand and in something they can expand upon or gain favor into a market that they may be adjacent to, but in reality, they're kind of in it?
Yeah, well, for sure, Ryan. I mean, you know, think about a traditional, you know, application development firm, for example, who really demonstrates a higher degree of talent around cloud modernization, right? Well, they had a value as a good, strong business in custom application development, but they've got a greater value in their ability to go to market and attract that cloud modernization business. So, you know, that's an example that goes back, oh, shoot, I don't know what, no, 5, 6, 7 years. Today, a really strong data company has much of the chops and capability to, you know, to build upon those skills with true artificial intelligence, machine learning, you know, predictive analytical skills. And, you know, if they demonstrate that and they demonstrate customer revenue and customer solutions with that capability, you know, there's an opportunity to win and win at a higher level. And quite honestly, that's one of those areas that, at least for the near term foreseeable future would timing is right. Right. You know, managed services companies that, that have a managed security capability at scale, distinctly different from their, you know, baseline managed services firms. So there's examples all the time. Now, it's not like you can slip, you know, flip a switch and you're there, right? Because, you know, once you dig under the covers, you can quickly determine as to whether or not it's a real capability and a real part of your business versus, you know, versus marketing.
It's a great point. It's hard to just say you do something without actually being able to do it. Although there certainly are opportunities abound in which companies can at least take advantage of the hotter market trends to be in position a company better. Someone who perhaps places staff in a technical role might be better off in a company that places digital talent or creates digital work. And so some slight changes to a more modern market trend might be able to help. Interesting. Mike, I'd love to understand, are there risks, or what risks are there when you're trying to time the market and time it just right?
Well, one of the biggest risks is that you're going to miss the timing. I mean, it's obvious, but, you know, it takes time to go to market, right? To effectively prepare your company for sale, to get it in market, to evaluate and get looks by buyers, to optimize and select those buyers in a way that aligned to your business strategy and culture and financial, you know, position. And all of that takes time. And a lot of times these boom markets, and I would consider us to be kind of in a boom market now for M&A, and are fairly short, fairly transient. I think, you know, 2024 will hold up as one of those markets. You know, there's some outside considerations as well. It's an election year. And, you know, if you look back at the history of the health of the economy and growth and all that stuff during election year, it tends to be certainly more positive than negative throughout history. And we probably have a pretty good feel that this year will be a pretty good year for that. Pretty good year for M&A, pretty good year for the economy in general. Probably, hopefully, feed a good 25, or at least the first half of 25. But it's not uncommon also to have economic corrections early into a new presidency, any cycle of new president, whether that's someone being reelected or a new president in general. It just becomes a different kind of economic environment. And I would recommend that if you're thinking about doing something like this, that you begin to prepare well ahead of time, as it relates to, we use the term M&A readiness in your business, and getting your financial house and strategic sort of house in order to support a deal. And Matt referred to that earlier. You know, time's got to be right for you first, and then the market second. And if it happens to coincide with market timing to optimize value, great. So for those in the audience that are kind of ready, this would be a good time, but you're going to have to do it sooner than later, because, you know, running that whole process takes 9 months or so to get done. And that's about all the line of sight we have to how good this market will, or as long as this market will hold out. Certainly could be into next year, but don't know. And whether it's this boom period or another boom period, you know, oftentimes you don't realize you're in a sort of positive market environment until it's passed. Certainly that way with the stock market. We oftentimes go, wow, that first quarter was really strong, as it was in 24 in the stock market. But we don't really know it when we're in it. And so I think you have to be paying very, very close attention to sort of market factors and try to read the tea leaves a little bit on that. Get input from advisors like Revenue Rocket and, you know, your lawyer and accountant and network and, you know, everybody you know that's deep entrenched in your market, to get their opinion about sort of that market condition. And, you know, back to the point of being ready, you know, be in a position where you're ready so you can move quickly. I think if you're not, it'd be very challenging to hit a optimal market timing situation.
Yeah, I think I think jumped in exactly where I was going to ask Matt is that, you know, if you were to think that now is a good time and we believe that there's some positive features here, what should you do? And Matt, you alluded, hey, run a solid business. Any other advice that you might give to a seller that, you know, what can you do to prepare to capitalize on some of this? On the market that we're seeing today?
Yeah, I mean, it seems we touch on this on a regular basis, which is, I think, good because it's always back to the basics, right? Run your business like you're never going to sell it, right? Have a good, solid business. You know, it's self-serving, but it's true. I don't care if you call us, you know, but call an advisor. And work with somebody who's been there before, and it's their job to help you, you know, find the very best fit and get you the optimal financial deal as well. And those two things kind of go together as well, because it's hard to continue to run your business as though you're never going to sell it if you try to go it alone. That advisor should, you know, see opportunities where there may be some things to be done to, you know, to sort of optimize value and or align what the market would see with the company in terms of that greatest value that a firm may be able to achieve. You know, sort of the overall communication plan. I mean, that's something that is super important that most people don't think about. And who all is going to be involved in the process, and is it the right time today versus, you know, a quarter out, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, these are all extremely important considerations, and, you know, find a partner. Right. I mean, I think that's the most important thing to do. And again, going back to that very first principle is it time, the right time for you? If you're a founder and or a private business holder, is it the right time for you? And, because if it is and or it's within that window, then that usually is the most important consideration.
I think that's very helpful. I think we kind of nailed a lot of this topic. I'll turn it back over to you, Mike and Matt, but I guess I'd love to start out with a question first is that, you know, what advice could you give to a business owner who might be uncertain about the right time to sell their business? Is there, if this is, and is there reassurance that you can give that perhaps you should sell now, and what kind of reassurance might you be able to give?
Well, you know, I'll speak to that. I've done this myself three times, and certainly, you know, there's a lot of introspection that has to go on to know when the time is right. I think also, what's super, super important, and we advise almost everyone needs to do this, is you have to think about what you'll do after the deal. It sounds simple and obvious, but you need to put a lot of time into thinking about sort of what's next for you, and have that pretty well anchored in your thinking. You know, for some people, it's, you know, start a new business that's different, or for some people, it's be part of a combined entity that's bigger and has more capital so they can do other things that they can't do as a standalone business. For others, it's to retire and, you know, go do whatever they're passionate about in retirement. For others, it's, you know, spend time with family. We've certainly helped business owners exit with their core vision to be, hey, for the coming years, my kids are going to be kind of going through middle school and high school, and I want to spend time with them during that period because they didn't get that chance to do that with their dad during those years and wished it would have happened. And they're changing their life to do that, to accommodate that. They don't know what's next, but they're going to get through that period and then focus on what's next. So it's different for everyone who's listening to this podcast. The driving factors are different for everyone. But having a plan, a solid plan about what's next, will help you vet sort of that timing and thinking about it. And I think it also helps you rationalize the thinking around, well, if I just run this business for 6 or 7 or 8 more years, I can get all of that profit, and still own the business, which is absolutely true if everything goes well and you achieve the goals that you expect to achieve in the coming years. But that doesn't always happen. And you should know that, you know, you have and remember and realize you have 100% of that risk, likely riding on your shoulders as that business owner and leader. And, you know, your ability to diversify some of that risk or all of that risk, depending on the situation, likely only comes when you monetize, the sale of the business. It just doesn't really happen any other way. And, you know, not to be a fatalist here, but I want to remind the audience, you know, we're all kind of on a one-way trip in this life and what we do. And you need to understand it's limited. You know, we've all had our ticket punched at some point. And, you know, in the context of everything you want to do with your life, you have to sort of put your work and your life's work in many cases in these businesses into that context and say, you know, am I doing, do I have the time to do everything I want to do? And will a transaction ultimately help me achieve that time? Because I think as business owners move on through their life as an owner, they realize that in many ways, time becomes much more precious than the dollars that business can create. And in the context of thinking about what's next, oftentimes the conversations I have with our clients and friends and others who, you know, own businesses, it becomes much more about time and the time they have left to do what they want to achieve or to be able to impact the world in a way that they can't now. And I think if you have that thinking going on in your head, you're thinking about the right stuff. And if you're running your business in an efficient way, it'll help you kind of get your head around when the right time is to move the deal and do a deal. And, you know, with a little bit of luck, you can time it with the market upswing as well.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Matt, any closing thoughts?
Well, it's hard to, I think Mike, you know, covered it really, really well. And, you know, the very best time to sell your business is, maybe it's difficult to achieve that and answer that 100%, but there are certainly better times. As we talked about, some of those are personal, some of those are strategic, and some of those can be market-based. And, you know, we don't take it lightly. The role that we get to play in advising firms around this very topic, it shouldn't be taken lightly because it's, in many cases, one of the most important aspects of individuals' personal careers. So great topic. Thank you, Ryan. We're in the middle of it today as we've got a number of new opportunities coming forward. So, you know, we're living this kind of 24/7 right now, which is awesome. So thanks, guys.
And with that, I guess we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. I encourage you to tune in next week when we unpack more relevant and exciting topics around growing your tech-enabled services company and or buying another one or selling the one you run. Make it a great week and take care.